guys. Welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is guest Dr. Amy Johnson. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for hopping on the show. I know you've been on quite a few times, but mind if I share your bio with any new listeners out there?
Sure.
Cool. Amy Johnson, PhD, is a psychologist and author who shares a groundbreaking no-willpower approach to change. She is author of Being Human and The Little Book of Big Change, The No-Willpower Approach to Breaking Any Habit. In 2017, she opened the Little School of Big Change, an online school that has helped hundreds of people find freedom from anxiety and habits and live a more peaceful life. Johnson has been a regularly featured expert on The Steve Harvey Show and Oprah.com, as well as in The Wall Street Journal and Self Magazine. You can learn more at www.dramyjohnson.com. So Amy, today I wanted to chat a little bit about one of my favorite quotes by philosopher Alan Watts, which is, and I know you're quite familiar with it too, which is, muddy water is best cleared by leaving it alone. Now, what kind of comes to mind for you when you hear that quote, Amy?
Well, when you just said it just now, the first thing that comes to mind is like, I wonder, you know, what people think about that. So like, why is this guy talking about mud and water? Because that's totally how it would have sounded to me, you know, maybe like 7-8 years ago. Like, what does that have to do with anything? So anyway, for whatever that's worth, the first thing, man, our kind of metaphors that we use are funny. Like,
yeah.
When you get it, you get it. And, you know, when it has some relevance, it has some real relevance. And when it doesn't, it's like, what does mud and water have to do with anything?
With anything that I'm experiencing right now.
Exactly. But I love that. I mean, it's a good one. It's a good one. And like, you know, like, it's so fascinating to look at how we as human beings, to me, are just like part of nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mud and water and weather and so many of these kind of things that seem so irrelevant to us sitting in anxiety or us being feeling or us fearing something that's coming up next week or whatever. And then somebody says something about a tree or about mud and water, you know, but the reason that those so deeply resonate is like,
we're a part of that, right? We're connected.
Yeah.
Like, it's a part of us.
We operate in the exact same way. And we all get, to some extent, how weather and nature works. We just haven't all kind of made that connection with, oh yeah, me too. I work that way also.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny you say that, because that is a big part of actually Alan Watts's work is we're not as disconnected, right? We kind of look like all these separate beings walking around, but actually we're quite connected and part of our environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you have a similar analogy, one that spoke to me, oh my gosh, years ago. It's been quite a while now, but it was one of your blogs about the snow globe, right? Like, you kind of, our emotions can be a lot like a snow globe, all shaken up, swirling around in a flurry of what can feel like a storm. And so often it's like, you know, when we're talking about it, it's like, well, duh, yeah, of course you don't keep shaking the snow globe to settle it down. But so often that's what looks like the only option. Just keep shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always remember that metaphor, which reminds me very, you know, it's quite similar to this quote as well.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny when you consider, like, that's the thing is, no one ever told us that our minds actually work like muddy water in snow globes, you know? Yeah. I mean, if we had grown up knowing that, then things would be a lot different. But that, for most of us, that never occurs to us until it does, until it's pointed out or something.
Right.
You know, and then it's like, it really starts to throw so much of like what we do into question. You know, all the stuff that we, all the efforts we're taking and the interventions we're doing to step in and try to clear the water or settle the snow globe just start to not make sense anymore.
Yeah. And it's so funny what we can just learn through experiential, you know, like experiential learning. It's like, once you kind of shake the snow globe enough or keep stirring that muddy water and we see how counterproductive it actually is. I don't know about other people, but for me, it often takes that experiential learning to see, oh, okay, this is the way I thought it worked. And, you know, yeah. sometimes these emotions like fear or anger, insecurity, whatever, feel so big, so intense that letting it settle never even occurred, because that would have felt almost ignorant or negligent, you know, like, yeah. And I think it's funny. I remember holding on so strongly to this idea. Yep. Just got to keep stirring that water, keep getting involved, keep trying to analyze, think, intellectualize your way out. And sometimes it's just seeing how it keeps the swirling storm going that, oh, well, maybe there is a different way. Maybe this isn't the only option, even though that's how it's looked thus far.
Yeah. I had a client this week have tell me about this huge insight she had that was very specific to her, but basically it was one thing she could remember. It was maybe like a couple years ago for her. There was a period of time when she was just really kind of obsessed with this topic. I don't know what the topic was, but and it doesn't matter. But you know, we kind of go through phases where like you have a few weeks or a month where like just something is on your mind so much.
Yeah.
And so that was the case for her a couple years ago. And through kind of seeing more about how her mind works and all of this that she's done more recently, she just suddenly kind of was, she said she was brushing her teeth and it just occurred to her, oh, for those months when all she could think about was this thing and how she's going to solve it and what she's going to do with it, she really clearly saw how her mind was trying to let it go.
Right.
Like her mind was relaxing all the time and just kind of loosening the grip, and the thoughts around this topic would start to kind of float away, but she would grab them by the tail and like pull them back and say, I have to figure this out so it can go away.
Right. So I could be okay. Right. Like, so I could find peace and be okay. And yeah,
she could see now with what she understands, it was just as she was starting to feel peace that she would kind of freak out and say, oh, wait a minute. Don't get too relaxed. Bring this back so you can solve it.
Yeah.
And it's, nature was laughing at her saying, you were just relaxed. What are you doing? You know, yeah. Like we got this. But
we got this.
It's so cool to see that, how it wants to. It's like the water just starts to settle. The mud starts to go to the bottom. And we sometimes, and I think especially when we're used to a certain level of anxiety, we'll be like, oh no, it's starting to settle. Let me settle it.
The hypervigilance, right? Like, oh wait, let me get involved. Oh, I got to get involved. Oh, I got to manage
right.
this.
It's like,
yeah.
What?
And it's funny because this, like, you know, this intellectualizing or thinking brain, it can be so helpful. No wonder we get into the habit of relying on it. It can be so helpful when it comes to, like, especially solving problems in the like external world, you know, like, yeah. Oh, there's a drought. Okay. I'll, you know, either settle elsewhere or change up the irrigation system. You know, it's this, this kind of problem solving thinking, intellectualizing mind, you know, it really helps us solve problems. And when something looks like a problem, we fix it. And of course we innocently try to apply that to our internal world, like our emotional fluctuating experience. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's that experiential learning that it often backfires when I try to bring too much of that intellectualizing, that action-oriented, you know, hyper-focus, like what I might bring to, I don't know, the focus I might bring to a math problem or something like that. It's funny because when I bring that same energy or, you know, quality to my internal world, for me, it is always just, it's like stirring up the mud. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just it's an ability we have to think things through, which is great, but
sure. That
doesn't mean it's an ability that we're supposed to use all the time for everything.
Exactly. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I even notice, like, even if I take a step back when trying to solve one of these, you know, outwardly world problems or whatever, especially if I'm feeling stuck or overwhelmed or just at a barrier, like, kind of letting that mud settle, letting the snow settle can be really helpful, really helpful. Like it creates this space or room for seeing things in a new way that just couldn't be seen when we were almost hyper-focused.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly the design of it, is that we, we kind of use our intellect for as far as it can go.
For as far as it can go.
You know, yeah, which usually isn't the end. It usually is not like, oh, I thought it through and I solved it. We use our computer brains and we bring in the facts that we know and we crunch the facts and the numbers. And we kind of, you know, that goes as far as it goes. And then almost always, I bet, you know, if you really look at it, we'd see almost always it's then we let it go and then something has space to come through. And I think, I mean, it's a huge thing. And there's, you know, tons of literature on kind of brainstorming and problem solving. And that's and even creativity. And this is all kind of scientifically proven in terms of how the brain works, that we can kind of max the brain and then let go. And that's where the breakthrough ideas come. But it's really kind of, it kind of speaks to, you know, in a bigger sense, how our mind works and, like, you know.
And nature, like you said, too, right? Yeah. Like just kind of how the world works a little bit. I think we all see that when we let go just a little or let be just a little or take that step back, even though it can feel really hard. Like, nah, I need to get involved here, obviously. Like things are going to go all awry if I don't get involved. But it's I think we can, you know, when we reflect, we can see that in so many instances where letting up is where an aha moment or seeing things in a new way or understanding it differently when we felt so stuck, right? Like so stuck on it, suddenly comes to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm not a mind reader, but I'm guessing everybody's next question is, you know, what mine was when I was first kind of just understanding the nature of our emotions and the way our mind and world works. But I'm guessing everyone's next question is somewhere along the lines of, because our thinking brain is, you know, a very busy brain. Okay, that makes sense. I can kind of see that, but how do I not keep stirring the water? And what would you say to that, Amy?
Well, that question doesn't make any sense to me because, I mean, it's like once you... You know, well, I guess the way you said it, I kind of see that, but how do I stop stirring the water? That's where the answer to the question is, because you kind of want to more than kind of see it. Like once you just get that it works this way, it just stops occurring to you to mess things up. Like when I'm caught up in a bunch of thought, like it literally doesn't even occur to me anymore as a way to get through that is to think harder. That sounds completely ridiculous, but it didn't always, you know, so I think it's just a thing of continuing to see how we work. And the more we just know how we work, all of that how stuff, it just becomes completely irrelevant.
It does.
It's like, it just no longer makes any sense at all. Even though it was a habit for decades, you know, people, I just finished talking with someone about this, like, but for 30 some years, I've been looking here and doing that. And I'm like, well, yeah, me too. But as soon as you see that it, you know, as soon as you deeply see, and the more we deeply see that we just were looking in the wrong direction, like, and that's, we weren't, you know, we don't need to clear the water. We don't need to change the weather. As soon as someone starts to show you that and it really clicks and makes sense, you just stop trying to clear the water and change the weather, you know? Yeah. So it really just always comes back to me for like this really, really simple thing of, let's just keep getting curious about how we actually work, because it's pretty simple. It's not outside of anyone's grasp to get that. And you won't ask how and why questions in the same way anymore.
Yeah. And that's, if people want to hear more about that, that's actually, the nature of episode 3, way back way in the podcast here. I know we're like on episode 140 something, almost 150. And we kind of speak to the nature of that quite a bit back in episode 3, but, such a common question when we're trying to understand something in a new way, just further trying to intellectualize it. It's okay. It's probably how you or I or other people have been doing things for a while. So to kind of see it in a different way, you know, just takes a little bit of curiosity and patience and looking toward that direction.
Yeah.
Anything else that comes to mind?
Oh, I mean, really, like, I there was a big shift for me when I really heard, okay, I'm in here trying to change my feelings and calm myself and figure things out. But when it just really kind of landed at some point, like, that's fine, but that's not the solution to that problem.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. it just isn't where those answers are. And I think that's just such a great thing in this short little episode for people listening to even just kind of take that from it. You know, like,
right.
Well, what if
just
I
what
am, yeah, like all of this stuff doesn't require so much settling and figuring and work on my part. Just what if? And then you'll start seeing evidence that that's true all over the place.
Yeah. It's, yep. Just that it's, again, I was like the intervention queen, you know, one intervention, you know? Like do these 6 steps when you feel anxious, bring this mantra to mind, you know, like I was, you give me a protocol, I'd follow it to a T. And, again, for me, it was, for some people, it's like a huge epiphany or aha moment. For me, it was like little realizations along the experiential path. Like, okay, like, you know, here I am incorporating every intervention known to man when I feel anxious or overwhelmed or an intrusive thought comes up. And, you know, I'm feeling as stuck as ever. And when I watch something funny, I notice a settling, or if I'm connected to someone, when I'm not doing so much, that's when I started to notice kind of just more moments, more, you know, breaks of peace and things like that. And that was just my experience. But like you said, I think often when we kind of look to, well, maybe, what if getting super involved isn't the answer? You know, where maybe have I seen that? Or where have I noticed that? Or if you haven't, you know, like seeing if you notice it in the future, right? Because sometimes it's a little easier when we have a little bit of awareness or it on our brain moving forward.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So thanks so much for hopping on the show, Amy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a fun discussion.
Yeah. That's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching, courses, or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.